السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. With recording. Okay. So without the day of judgment, good guys and bad guys will end up 6 foot underground without any difference. So you tell yourself, I would tell myself, if I'm going to end up like bad guys at the end, 6 foot underground, and that would be it, if this is true, then why should I bother doing good deeds? Why should I bother doing good deeds? Okay? You see what I'm saying? Why should I sacrifice my money and time for the sake of Allah? Why? There would be no reward for good things that you do. There would be no rewards. Actually, you will probably be stupid to sacrifice this much time and money without getting rewards back. Agreed? Okay. So, if I tell you that there is a judge who makes good guys equal to bad guys, what kind of a judge is this guy? Good judge or bad judge? Bad judge, right? How could you imagine that Allah will let the good guys and the bad guys end up 6 foot underground without any difference between them? How could you? Then you're saying Allah is not a just judge. And this is not true, because Allah is a just judge. And also, to sacrifice, when you sacrifice, you're motivated by your love to Jannah. You're motivated by the love of Allah, desire to go to Jannah, and fear from hellfire. Okay? So, you're motivated by these things. When you're motivated by these things, then you are motivated to do good deeds and sacrifice. All right. Good guys will end up like bad guys, 6 foot underground. Okay. Then after this, you believe in the fate. And this is... After that, we talk about the sixth pillar of faith, which is the destiny. So what do you know about that? In other words, how do you apply this in your life? Give me examples. The sixth pillar of faith, can you give me an example about this? Go ahead. Yes, that's true. When something bad happens to you, you accept it because you know that it's the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell you about something amazing that it amazed me. You know how it is sometimes people lose their dear friends and their dear children. You know that?
Can you guys read that? Yeah. Let's just say yes. Can you?
Yeah. Do you know that? I was amazed. Why? Look, listen to this. The people who lose children or dear family members, they end up in a very sadness. They end up very sad. Very, very sad. And they...
And then they grieve.
And then they go into grief, right? And this grief destroys the their sight. This grief will make them lose their mind, and sometimes they commit suicide. Okay? Or they become crazy. They go crazy about what happened. Okay?
Or they start to curse Allah. Why'd you do this? Why'd you do it? Okay.
Yeah. I'm coming to this point. But before that, let me tell you what happened. So they need, those people need grieving classes or grieving classes. Grieving, right?
Anger management.
Anger management or grieving management.
Therapy.
Guess what is the first thing they teach, or the first rule, or the first concept they teach to the people, those people, the people who lost dear children and husbands and, guess what is the first thing they teach the people in this hospital or in this management classes, anger management class,
To learn to accept it.
Yes, but they say?
It's fate, you can't change it.
They say, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is kind of true, but that's not exactly what they teach. They teach them you have to surrender yourself to the higher power. Listen to this. They teach them you have to submit yourself, or you have to submit to the decisions of higher powers. Now, why didn't they say the decisions of Allah, of God? Because many people don't believe in God. So they call him higher power. They call him higher power. And they say you have to surrender yourself to the will of the higher power. That's similar to what? In our pillars of faith. That's similar to believe in the fate, or believe in fate, believe in destiny. You got this part right? Now, the one who's patient, they teach them actually in this class also, they teach them that this higher power decided to kill their children. So they must submit to the will of higher powers. And the argument here also is that if you became angry and cry and scream and bang your head against the wall, okay, would that bring your children back? So this is how they argue. They said the highest power decided that your children are gone and they are gone forever. So if you become angry and you get crazy over it, your children will still not come back. Okay, the people who believe in the destiny or the fate, or they believe into the sixth pillar, okay? They control their anger from day number one. They control their anger from day number one, okay? They control their anger from day number one. The ones who don't believe in the sixth pillar of Islam, they end up submitting to the will of the higher power after 30 days, for example, or after 2 years. Why? Because, so the good guys or the people who believe in the sixth pillar of Islam, they will immediately control their anger and accept and surrender to the higher power. But the ones who don't believe on the fate, they will bang their heads against the wall. So that why they are banging their heads against the wall?
They don't understand.
Because they are so mad, okay? So mad about losing their children.
Just a note, I wrote it on the board, but it's like if you lose your child, it's okay to grieve. Don't get me wrong. Like, actually, it would be pretty weird if you didn't grieve if you lost a child. It's okay to be, like,
sad
for a little day.
It's difficult.
As long as you don't cause harm to yourself or those around you.
So it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. Okay? But at the same time, you surrender yourself to the higher power, to the decision or the decision of the higher power from day number one. The other guys will surrender to the will of higher powers from day number 30, right? If they don't submit today, they will submit tomorrow. If they don't submit this week, they will submit the following week. If they don't submit this month, they will submit the following month. If they didn't submit this month, then they will submit the following year. You understand? Because at the end, the children will not come back. So this is the pillar of faith. It makes us stop anger from day number one. Okay? Before we lose our mental health. Because if you keep going with madness, you lose your mental health. Right? Have you seen it before? People go crazy over losing their loved ones. Okay. Now, is it okay to be sad when you lose a person dear to you? Is it okay to be angry from that if your loved ones are killed? Is it normal to feel angry from the one who killed your loved ones? Is it okay to be angry at them?
Yes.
Yes. Is it okay to be angry at Allah?
No.
So, just Lena was saying, the example reminded me of the example of a lady. This actually happened. Her husband and her children all died in a car accident. She, because she did not believe in the sixth pillar, which is the fate, she started picking stones and stoning up for God. Why did you take my children, husband and children? Why? Why me? And she's throwing stones. Why me? Why me? Why not somebody else? What have I done wrong? You're so mean. Okay. Would it hurt you if you don't take them? Okay. And then she started like that. This is haram or halal? Haram. So can we get angry at Allah? No. Actually, we thank Allah. Because the one to be thanked. Okay? When you're happy, you thank Allah. When you're sad, also you thank Allah. When something bad happens to you, okay? You thank Allah. Because Allah is the only one to be thanked for calamities or short of money, poverty. You don't thank anybody else. If something bad happens to you, you don't thank anybody else, but you thank Allah. Okay? Because it's better for you, but you're not seeing it. It's better for you, but now you're not seeing it. Now, there is another example of a lady. This lady lost her husband. She had lots of children, and she lost her husband, and she doesn't work. Her husband was the only source of income. So he left the widow behind with many children. Single mom with many children. So they came after they buried the husband. They came to her and consolate her. Is that what you call it?
Console
her.
Console.
They console her, or, you know, comfort her, in other words. Now, when they come to do that, she said, you guys, why are you consoling me? The eater, the consumer died, but the supplier is all is ever lasting. You understand that? She said, my husband, basically what she's saying is that my husband is the consumer. And who is the supplier? Allah. So she said, why should I be sad? Why should I be mad or sad? The consumer died, but the supplier is everlasting. You see? You see that? You see how impressive she did? You know, it's very impressive.
We don't really expect... Well, it'd be nice if you guys did that. And that's your goal, to do that, to become such a good Muslim that you trust Allah and His decisions. But if you don't, it's only human, but that should still be your goal in life.
Many people...
Consoling and trying
to drink. Yes. And the impressive thing is that she said, the supplier, the consumer died, which was her husband, and the supplier is everlasting. Okay? Now, Allah makes all the choices for you. So, who chose you're from Bangladesh, right? Right? Who chose you to be from Bangladesh?
Who chose you to be here in this time period where there's computers to distract you, video games to distract you, TV to distract you, and many other things? Who chose you to be born? Were you born in America? I'm guessing so.
Yes.
Yes. And who chose you to be born in America and brought up here? And
birth date.
Yeah, like who chose your birthday to be either in the night or in the morning? Because there's a lot of so-called better decisions. Like, whoa, what if I was born in like the Renaissance period where it was Renaissance? Anyways, when Islam was in the golden age and there weren't computers to distract me, it'd just be so much easier. Why was I born now? Right.
Or you ask, say, why wasn't I born at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Where it would be easier to become Muslim, but easier to not be. It was either one or the other.
Yeah, they were tested so tough. They were tested with hardships and persecuted. Who said that you'll be able to handle that or tolerate that? Who said that you're going to end up who can say that you're not going to end up with the bad guys who fought Prophet Muhammad because of tribalism, right? Because of tribalism. Who said that you would be able to handle that? So, whatever Allah gives you, take it and be thankful. Who chose your color? Allah. Who chose your birthday? Allah. More than that, these things that you cannot control is givers are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And Allah does that if you think that someone can come up with better choices than what Allah has chosen for you, okay? Then you have a low image of Allah. And if you know what you're doing, and if you know what you're saying, then you become a kafir. You're outside of Islam. You understand? So what? Can you repeat what I said again? Someone? Okay. If you believe that someone can come up with a better scenario of what happened, Okay? If things already happened, and if you believe that someone can come up with a better scenario than what happened, then you are a disbeliever. If you know what you're doing, if you're not an ignorant person who really doesn't understand things, okay, and said, oh, I wish that this thing has happened. Yes, wish, but you wish, I wish, but Allah, at the end, what's going to happen is Allah's wish or will. You will, I will. What happens at the end? Allah wills. Allah is the one who whose will is superior to our will. I forgot what I needed to talk about next.
Okay.
Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, yeah, no, now this thing. What did I say at the end? The statement that I said at the end?
If only Allah will.
That if you believe, if something has happened already, if you believe that someone else can come up with a better scenario, then that's a low image of Allah. So, can you say it again? For example, here.
Do you think that someone can have something that's better than what Allah decides and you're a disbeliever?
That's right. Remember, as long as it happened already, then? Huh? As long as it happened already, then? Then what? Then nobody can come up with a better scenario. You understand that? Okay. Now, this scenario that Allah decided has winners and losers. So you're not always winning of the scenario that Allah decided. It has winners and losers. So you pray to Allah to become among the winners, because in the scenario that Allah decided, okay, you could be a loser. Okay, you got this part right? Do you understand this part, or is it too deep for you to understand? Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't say if I have done this, then this would have happened. Or if I haven't done this, then this wouldn't happen." You don't say that. But you say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, which means that Allah decreed, and whatever His decree is, we accept it. Whatever His decree, whatever His decree is going to happen. Why did you stop?
Because I already wrote everything that you're saying.
Where is the decide about the scenario? If someone can decide a better scenario, come
it's
up
over
with
it. It's over there.
Okay. Okay. About sadness. Is it okay to feel sad?
Yes.
Is it normal that you feel happy? Is it normal?
It depends on the situation.
About losing your loved ones?
No.
No. Now, accepting the decision of Allah, believing into the sixth pillar of faith and accepting the decisions of Allah, okay, does that prevent you from feeling sad? Does it prevent you from feeling sad? No. In other words, Allah permits you to feel sad. What Allah permits you, doesn't permit you, is to get angry at Him. It's to get angry at Him. The Prophet, when Ibrahim, his son, died, what happened? What did he say? He cried and he said, my eyes cry, I feel sad, but my heart is believes in Allah. It's not angry at Allah, believes in Allah. And I would not say anything that shows disbelief in Allah or shows that I'm angry at Allah.
Prophet Noah, as there was a flood, he wanted his son to go onto the boat with him and save his son, but his son was a disbeliever, so he didn't want to go on the boat. Instead, he climbed a mountain, and so I believe it was Prophet Noah who asked Allah to save his son.
Yes, he is right. Prophet Noah.
So, and that was wrong of him to ask Allah, but it was only natural to be human and ask Allah if you can save one of your loved ones. But it just could not be. That sounds really sad. He was a disbeliever and he chose that way, and so he deserved what was coming to him.
Yeah. Okay. There was a righteous guy, righteous followers. Among the one guy from the righteous followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion. When his son died, he smiled. When his son died, he smiled. He smiled. And yes, and he said, "I accept the decision of Allah." And he smiled. Now, the Prophet Muhammad cried. He said, I accept the decision of Allah, but he cried when his son died. Now, which one is better? Which one is better? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where are you, Lena? Which one is better? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who cried, or this righteous follower that smiled? Okay, how could you explain that? If that righteous guy smiled out of accepting the decision of Allah. Okay, he smiled. And he was motivated to smile, okay? Because he believes in the sixth pillar of faith so much that he smiled.
Hey, is there a right answer? Is there a wrong answer?
Which one is better? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who cried, or this righteous follower who smiled?
Oh, and we're not going to accept the answer.
Okay. If you say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my follow-up question would be, how? Can you explain it?
Because it shows you're only human.
Perfect. Perfect. Because...
Wait. But everybody deals with grief in their own ways. Why is it not okay to smile?
That's radical. That's a radical behavior. This guy's radical. He's doing something extra that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do. So the Ibn Taymiyyah said in his book, he said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, the response of Prophet Muhammad was better than the response of the guy who smiled. Why? Because the guy who smiled could not handle two feelings. One, okay, accepting of what Allah has decreed, and the other one is sadness, okay, for losing the loved ones. He could not combine them into one heart. So the belief of Allah, his belief in Allah, that Allah, his belief in Allah's decision, okay, he smiled out of his believing of Allah's decision,
not out of joy.
Okay, not out of joy or happiness. On the other hand, Prophet Muhammad's heart was able to handle both things, which are accepting the decision of Allah and grief. That's right. MashaAllah. Very smart. So, can you explain how come? The guidance, the example of Prophet Muhammad who cried is better than the example of a guy who smiled?
Because he accepted it, but he also grieved, and that's okay, because he's human.
Yeah, you're talking about the guy.
Yeah.
The guy is, he is so pleased, he is so pleased in the decision of Allah that he smiled. So he could not handle both feelings to be in his heart. Feeling of sadness for the child and the acceptance of the decision of Allah. He could not handle both. He had only the accepted decisions from Allah in his heart. But the Prophet Muhammad could handle and had both feelings in his heart. He feels sad, and at the same time, he's pleased with Allah's decisions. Okay? And he's not... Do you get this part right? This is important. And that's what Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said about... Imam Ibn al-Qayyim in his book. That's what he said. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim in his book said that. Okay. So, how long should we grieve on our loved ones?
3 days.
Okay. 3 days. Right? You said three? Okay. 3 days. And except for a wife, she can mourn. Is it called mourn?
Yeah.
Mourn. So, mourning is not allowed for anyone more than 3 days. Mourning. Okay? Mourning. Is that right? Mourning?
Mm-hmm.
But it is, for a wife losing her husband, it is up to 40 days. Okay? And she's allowed to. But I'm either 60 days or 90 days or...
Yeah, isn't it like 4 months and 10 days?
Yes, 4 months and 10 days, mashallah. You're so smart.
What about for like a child who's lost its mother? Is that also 3 days only or...?
Yeah, 3 days. Grieving, not grieving, it's like...
Mourning.
But you can feel sad as much as you can and as long as you can.
As you want, not...
I'm sorry, as you want. And... Now, people always accuse fates, or like not accuse fates. They always say, okay, this guy died because of a car accident, and this guy died because of...
We have a question. So, really quickly, is it expected for you to grieve if you're a mother for 4 months and 10 days?
No.
I mean, sorry. Wait, a wife?
Yeah.
Just a wife.
A wife that lost her husband.
Yeah, remember, we're talking about mourning. Mourning.
Okay, so it's not expected.
Yes.
Okay, and another thing. Are we talking about the lunar day months, or are we talking about...
Lunar
the
month.
Okay.
Lunar.
There we go. That's what
I... Okay. You're so smart. You're so good. How did you know it's 4 months and 10 days? You learned it somewhere? Or you're so smart because you're sitting next to asthma. Asthma is probably, you got some intelligence radiations from... Okay.
She said figures like
that. Asthma is the best student that I have.
In a very long time. That's
in Arabic?
Because
in Arabic...
In class, we have a lot. We have two guys, three guys.
She is taking Arabic, Quran, and Islamic studies with me.
Back to the lesson.
Okay. Back to the lesson. People think that, people say that, the guy died because of a heart attack. The guy died because a guy shot him. A bad guy shot him. And we keep saying that. The truth is, people are dying because of who? Because of the angel of death. Because of the angel of death. And the angel of death checks on us every day, so many times. So many times he's checking on us so that when the appointed time comes, he's going to come and snap you.
You'd be surprised how he has, or if he has that much time for somebody to die.
He's so fast, he's an angel. He's so fast and so powerful.
Oh, there was a story on Prophet Muhammad, maybe, where there was one of his companions. I don't think it was Prophet Muhammad. Suleiman. So,
you guys all know the story?
She doesn't really care precisely. And then, so there was one of the companions of Suleiman. You're having a meeting, and then a man who's like really clean and white, and you know when that's told in the story in the Quran, you just guess that's an angel. But he just kind of came in and he just stared at him. An extremely like, long point of time.
Would stare
so,
at who?
Like, at one of the companions. And so he started to get like really fidgety and now like nervous and then scared. And so afterwards he asked Suleiman, who was that man? Right? And Suleiman said that it was it was the angel of death. And so he got really even scarier. One of the two. And so after that, he asked Suleiman if he could use his wind powers to send him to India, where he would be far away from the angel of death. And so Suleiman did just that, and the angel of death, and then he soon died. And it turned out that the angel of death was in there because he, inside of his book of records, he said that the guy was going to die in India. And he was amazed, like, how in the world is this guy going to get to India? And because there's no airplanes and whatnot, it was just a really out there idea. And so he went in there and he just kind of like stared because he was amazed about how Allah wanted him to do this. And then afterwards he understood because...
So the guy went back, the angel of death went back to Prophet Suleiman. So Prophet Suleiman said, what did you, God, I mean, what happened? Why you were staring at him? And what's the reason? He said, Allah, in his book, told me to take his life, okay, in a few minutes. I searched for him and I found him in Jerusalem. So I was wondering how could he travel from Jerusalem to India in a few minutes. So I went to the place and time that Allah has given me, and I found him and I took his soul. So he died. Another thing is about the angel of death. Allah wanted to select the angel of death. All angels don't like this task. They don't like it. Why? Because they are afraid that people are going to hate them and curse them. Curse the angel of death. So Allah said to an angel, go down to earth and grab different pieces of mud from different places on earth and come back to me. He wanted to fashion Adam. So he said, pick different soils of different kind of clay. So when the angel traveled towards earth to do that, the earth said, I seek protection of Allah from this angel. So the angel feared and could not proceed, and he went back to Allah. So Allah said, what happened? Remember that Allah is asking, okay, not to learn the answer, but for others to what? Hear the answer. So Allah said, what happened? So the guy said, the earth asked for your protection from me, so I could not, I did not dare to do that. So Allah selected the second angel, and this happened. Third angel, same thing happened. Until Allah selected the angel who's going to be the angel of death. So that angel went down to earth. The earth again seeked the protection of Allah against or from the angel of this angel, which is going to be the angel of death. So he, although the earth seeked the protection of Allah, that angel said, "Wallahi, I will never disobey Allah. He told me to go get pieces of mud, and I will." So, and then he started picking up pieces of mud on different places, mud. And of course, the earth is like, "Ouch! Don't think, ouch!" You know what I'm saying? I'm just joking. But then he took it back to Allah. So Allah said, "I am appointing you the angel of death, because you didn't care and attacked and grabbed. So you're good. You are the angel of death." So he cried and he said, "Ya Allah." Remember, Allah did all of this to show that the angel of death is the only qualified angel to do that, to show to him and to show to other angels. So he said, "Ya Allah, no, I don't want to be angel of death, because people will hate me and curse me." Okay? So Allah said, "Don't worry, I'm going to cover you behind the natural causes of death." So when somebody's dying, we don't remember the angel of death. We remember, well, he got cancer. Well, he was too old. Well, he was in a car accident. All these are physical, okay, physical ways, or like normal, what is it called?
Natural causes of death.
All these are natural causes of death. Do anybody remember angel of death?
No.
The truth is that the angel of death is there, and he's the one who took your soul. So the guy didn't die because of the gunshot. Somebody's shot. He didn't die out of the gunshot. He died because of the angel of death.
There's plenty of people who can survive gunshot or death. So, or other things, it's just that when the angel of death is set to come, he's set to come, no matter what the problem is.
Yes. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum,
inshallah.
Oh, none of you guys emailed me. I'm very disappointed.